And we're going to hear from God's word now. We're going to hear from Genesis chapter 3.
The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you mustn't eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Then he said to the woman, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And to the man he said, "Since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made, for you were made from dust, and to dust you will return." Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, "Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever." So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of God.
Well, it's very early in the Bible story and already things are going wrong. There's 47 more chapters to go in the book of Genesis. That's got a story to tell. But if we just freeze frame here, we see that God's purposes and plans for the world aren't what God originally had in mind. God has to adjust to what human beings are doing. Now, this story that we've had read to us from the Bible is often known as the Fall. In fact, in the Bible translation that I use, that's its title, The Fall. But I'm not quite sure that's the best way to describe it. I think I'd rather call it the grasp. It was that human beings wanted to grasp for more than God wanted to give them. Or perhaps they wanted to grasp too quickly what God wanted to give them. I mean, I think that that tree in the garden, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God did plant it there for a purpose. My reading of the text is that his plan was that human beings would grow to a certain level of maturity, at which point God would give us knowledge. The problem is that we went for it too fast. And like a child who wants to know something before it's good for them, so Eve and then Adam eat of the fruit of that tree. And we have here a picture of what we human beings do. This is the day that we grew up too soon. The serpent just about tells the truth in this story. The serpent says that if you eat of the fruit of this particular tree, you will be like God. Later on, God agrees that that is what has happened to human beings. So yes, call it the fall if you like. I prefer to call it the grasp. But it's also the day in which human beings became like God. We know from the beginning that we were meant to be made in the image of God. We were created to be like God. That there was something about us that was more like God than all the rest of the animals, all those wonderful animals that we saw in the pictures earlier in the service today. We were made to be special. We were made in God's image. But there was a further step to be taken in becoming like God. And Adam and Eve discover that becoming like God is not as good as it's cracked up to be. Beforehand, the way Genesis 2 tells the creation story, God makes this world. God's plan for the world is that human beings should take care of it, they should subdue it, but that God starts this project not by saying to human beings, right, go and rule the whole world. God starts by giving them a garden or an orchard that's a sort of protected zone. And he says to them, take care of that. I'm giving you a limited responsibility here. And then the plan was that the human beings would gradually take their responsibility for the earth as a whole and bring it into line with how God wanted it to be. But Adam and Eve aren't prepared to leave it like that. You will be like God. Wow, that sounds good. Let's take a look at that fruit. Let's taste it. Let's eat. And they discover, well, it says they discover that they are naked. It is interesting, I think, that we human beings are the only animals that are bothered about being naked. I mean, a dog might be grateful, I guess, for a coat on a cold day, but that's not the sort of shame that we experience. Adam and Eve discover, as soon as they become like God, that they want to hide. They look at themselves. They feel shame. They feel, oh, I can't let people see me exactly as I am. Well, who knew? Who knew that that's what it's like to be like God? Except don't we feel sometimes that God hides himself? Don't we sometimes come here and we go, God, we just wish that you would reveal yourself more to us. Lord, show us who you really are. And sometimes we get a sense of who God is. Sometimes God very graciously lets us see just a little bit, and even seeing a little bit of God is a wonderful experience, even getting some sense of who God is. But there's this sense all the way through the Bible, God can't really show himself. And when he eventually goes the farthest he's ever gone in terms of showing himself, he doesn't show us his heavenly glory. He doesn't show us the glory that the Son had with the Father from the beginning of time. He shows us one who comes and walks around as a human being like us. And all of us know what it is to feel this shame. All of us know what it is to feel this sense of, I can't really show myself perfectly. I had a story many years ago. Somebody wrote a book. The title of the book was, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And somebody wrote a reply that said, well, who I am is all I have, and if I tell you that, you may not like me. We hide. We hide from each other. We hide from God. And who knew that that is what being God, being like God, would make us look like? And even when Jesus comes to this earth and reveals God, he seems to do so much hiding. He does a miracle and he says, don't tell anybody. He rises from the dead and appears to just a few hundred people. Why does he not trumpet everything to the world straight away? When he talks to his friends about how they are to behave, he says, when you do the good stuff, don't make a big song and dance about it. You know, when you pray, don't do it out on the streets. When you give to the poor, don't sound the trumpets. Just do it really, really quietly. Why does he tell us to behave like this? Because God hides himself. And because we are to hide ourselves too. I find this very strange, but I actually think it is important to realize that being made in the image of God means sometimes we don't have to be wide open about everything that we are. So Adam and Eve feel shame as a consequence of becoming like God. They also find that there is this fracturing in their relationship with God. I mean, you'd have thought that becoming like God would have made it more simple, but they're just kids. They're kids pretending to be adults. It's not going to work. And so God, Genesis 3 presents this lovely picture of God just walking around in the garden and wanting a chat with them. Going, Adam, Eve, where are you? I was ashamed. I was naked. I hid from you. And before long, the relationship will fracture even further as human beings take on the powers that they have been given. And it's not long before God is looking at this world and thinking, why did I bother? And happily, as Genesis, a few chapters on, tells the story, God sees a man called Noah, and God thinks, well, here's somebody that it's worth persevering with. And then a few chapters later on, human beings are becoming so strong and so powerful that they're building this huge tower, and God looks at it and thinks, if I don't stop this, everything's going to go wrong. And God moves in and he disperses people and he gives them different languages to speak so they can no longer understand each other. And today, it seems like the more we want to be like God, the more our relationship with him gets fractured. Knowing good and evil is not such a wonderful thing as Adam and Eve thought that it might be. But we praise God, because although our relationship with God struggles from this point on, God doesn't give up. There's this, I think it is meant to be almost a comic scene, that Adam and Eve take fig leaves and try and cover up their nakedness. Now, I am no expert in fig leaves, but what I'm told about the fig leaves that were around at the time is they probably were the biggest leaves, so that was probably why they chose them. But also they would have been very uncomfortable to wear, and may not have been that effective. And God sees their pathetic attempts at clothing themselves, and he realizes that this won't do. And he clothes them. And he takes animal fur, animal hide, and he makes clothing for them, and he puts it on them. Both a moment of joy. God cares for us human beings. But also another sense that we are not working properly anymore with the animal kingdom that God gave us. God pushes them out of the garden he says it's not safe now to give you the tree of life. Well, what would have, why didn't they go to that one first? I'd love to know. But I've got to frustrate you, God says. And it seems that no matter how much as human beings we try and get it right, we end up frustrated. The next thing is that work goes all wrong. When God says to Adam, right, from now on your work, it's not going to be about it's not going to be about you just cultivating my nice orchard. This is going to be tough. This is going to be hard from now on. And it seems that no matter what we human beings do, we can never get past this. Many years ago, my head teacher told me the age of the computer was coming and we'd all have lots of leisure time. Ha ha, you got that one wrong. Genesis 3 says, you will eat your food by the sweat of your brow. It's like God has to frustrate us. We want too much. We want to be too powerful. Do you know, at the time of Jesus, the emperor was going around calling himself the Son of God. He was claiming to be God. And somebody came who was very different. Somebody who didn't grasp at being equal with God. New Testament says that Jesus was in very nature God, but unlike Adam, he didn't grasp at his godness. Instead, he made himself nothing. And he took the very nature of a servant. If we want to be successful as human beings, one of the hardest lessons for us to learn is that we must stop grasping. And we even must stop grasping at God. We must find a contentment with how things are. Not that we should leave everything as they are. Not that we shouldn't call out to God that things should change. Goodness me, there's so many things in the world that need to be changed today and they need to be prayed about. But being honest about who we human beings are, that when God gives us power, we have this incredible ability to mess it up. And God says to Eve, I'll increase the pain of your childbearing. And I'm told from those who study these things that he's not just referring here to physical pain, but he's referring to the whole emotional pain of parenthood. And Adam and Eve discover that. And before long, they have two sons. And before long, the two sons are fighting each other. And before too long, one kills the other one. And Eve must think, well, if this is what it means to be the mother of all living, then why? Why is it like this? Because we wanted to be like God. Because we wanted to be as smart as God was. And instead of humbly accepting what God gave to us, we thought that we had a better way. And then there is conflict between Adam and Eve. You know, when God says to Adam, what have you done? Well, it was the woman that you gave me. I mean, what a difference from chapter 2 to chapter 3. I mean, when Adam first sees Eve, he's in rapture. This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. And he's so excited that the text says, you know, from now on, the man and the woman will cleave together and they'll become one. And now here is Adam blaming Eve and blaming God. And the relationship between them is going to be difficult. Why is the divorce rate so high? Why do we struggle so hard in our relationships? Well, Genesis 3 says, because we wanted to be like God. We wanted to take God's place. And God, at least partly, gave it to us. Of course, Eve goes on to blame the serpent. Let's always find someone to blame. We live in a blame culture. And God looks on us, and God could blame us, but God has different ways, happily. There is hope in Genesis 3. Not a lot. I mean, it is early on in the story. There's a lot more story to come that will tell us in great detail what God is going to do to make things better. But the one real bit of hope in here is that when God says to the serpent, he will crush, he says, I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That there's going to be this war going on between our desire to stamp on the temptation to want too much. And there is hope in this verse that we will achieve it. And as a Christian, that points us totally to Jesus. This is a chapter which tries to make some sort of sense of the suffering in the world. It tries to make some sort of sense of how we could relate to God in a different way. It shows us that in some strange way, the suffering that we go through is actually part of what it means to be like God. And in the end, God enters our world. He enters this world in the form of his Son. But for today, I want to finish by coming back to the protection that God gave to Adam and Eve when he made covering for them. Because it may be that some of us today are saying to God, I need your protection. I need your care today. And we may feel that God, like he did to Adam and Eve, there's like what we feel we really need is over here. And it's almost as if God has put this big cherubim or angel or whatever it was in between with a flaming sword saying, I won't let you get there. I'm not going to allow it. And we think, how could God be so cruel? And yet God has clothed them. And in clothing them, he's promised to give them protection. And for some of us today, the thing that we want is still beyond us. The thing that we want, God is still saying no to. But he says, I'll walk with you and I'll protect you. And if Adam and Eve are now outside of this lovely garden, so once Jesus was crucified outside a city wall, he goes out and he bears our shame. And as we see Jesus there, living with all the consequence of the stuff that we've done wrong, we realize that we truly are made in the image of God. That we truly are becoming like him. So if today you feel that God is holding back on you, if today you feel that God isn't giving you the thing that you need, if you feel that all this great stuff about being a Christian is a long way away, come to God and talk about it honestly and ask him for protection for the place where you are at this very moment. God gave it to Adam and Eve. Their own attempts to cover themselves were pathetic, almost funny. God's attempt didn't solve the whole problem, but they made things a lot better. And they enabled the human race to walk forward into the next part of God's solution. So let's pray together. Father, we confess that we as a human race have made a mess of being made in your image. We've made it a reason to seek for power. We've made it a reason that instead of caring for this earth, we would dominate this earth. That instead of really getting together and loving each other, Lord, we hurt each other. And we blame each other. And we hide from each other. And yet, Lord, and yet, when you send your Son into the world, he becomes human, he becomes one of us. And we look at him and we see We are made in God's image. And God, you are a suffering God. A God who hides himself. God who struggles in your relationship with us as much as we struggle in our relationship with you. But Lord, we pray for each one of us here today. Lord, may you please protect us. May you walk with us. Lord, and if it seems that the way to the tree of life, I mean, whatever that means for us just now, but if it seems that that way is guarded and we can't get to it, Lord, we ask that you will come out of the garden, out of the orchard, and stand beside each one of us. Let's take a few moments quiet so we can offer our prayers to God today.